During the recordings where I walk up and down my driveway, I've noticed that I go into a lot of tangents and sometimes I'll miss certain things when I'm talking about the subjects that I talk about. So, in an attempt to fix this, I've started putting my recordings through Notebook LM. I'm going to play the AI summary now, and when I get to a point where I need to clarify something or if I didn't mention something correctly, I'll cover it here. This will serve two purposes. Obviously, the Notebook LM AI summary is going to be shorter than the regular recording. The AI summary is about 16 minutes long, whereas the recording is about 28. This gives people a chance to listen to a summary of the recording without having to listen to the whole thing. But also, it'll help me understand how to word things better so that it makes more sense. If it doesn't make sense, the AI will misunderstand some things. That gives me a chance to clarify those things and make sure I can speak more clearly in future recordings. Before I continue on playing the AI summary, though, I do want you to know that I have edited the summary so that it doesn't take up as much time. This includes cutting out silences and other things of that nature. However, there are going to be spots where the editing sounds terrible and it sounds like I cut something in the middle of a word. This is not actually my editing, but rather something the AI summary itself has done. Notebook LM still has some audio glitches here and there, and some of those you will get to hear throughout this recording. But anywhere you hear an edit in the middle of a word was most likely not me. With that being said, here's the Notebook LM AI summary.
Welcome back to the deep dive. You know that really agonizing feeling when you're looking for some critical bit of niche knowledge? The kind of info that basically decides if you can get groceries or take a job or even just walk down the street safely.
Yeah, it's incredibly frustrating.
It feels like you're totally isolated, right? Stuck on some tiny fragmented island, just shouting into the digital void, trying to stitch together a map from like random blog posts and forum comments.
Well, today we're going to try and cut through some of that frustration. We're diving deep into the thinking behind a pretty huge solution that's being developed right now.
And our source material is really interesting this time.
It is. It's excerpts from a personal audio recording, actually captured during a walk, a difficult walk, in a really rural area. And this reflection, it directly contrasts life in that North Carolina town with the experiences the speaker had in places like Nebraska and Florida.
Highlighting what exactly?
Highlighting how accessibility, or the devastating lack of it, just changes everything about your personal independence.
That context is just so important here. The emotional weight of the source, it's pretty heavy because it shows how easily life can sort of regress when those physical and informational barriers just pile up.
Right. And so our core mission today is really to unpack the thinking behind the response to that frustration, this massive centralized solution they're tentatively calling VI Access.
Okay.
We really need to explore why just having information out there isn't actually enough, why a project that's aiming to be effectively a Wikipedia for accessibility isn't just a nice to have tool, but really a desperate necessity when vital knowledge is just so scattered and siloed right now.
Okay, so let's unpack this source material a bit more. The audio recording really puts us right there in the speaker's shoes in rural North Carolina, and the setting, it's not just inconvenient, it sounds aggressively limiting.
It really does. They describe walking on this steep hill, and they make a point of noting that the community hasn't actually put in any sidewalks in over 20 years.
I mentioned in the recording that there have not been sidewalks in this area for 20 years, but in reality, I've only lived here for about 20 to 21 years, which is why I quoted that number. In actuality, there have never been sidewalks in this area.
So the geography itself and the lack of infrastructure, they just conspire against you. That steep hill literally forces an immediate turnaround right at the road.
That detail being forced to turn around, that feels critical. It's not just like, oh, this is annoying. It's a hard physical boundary that's basically imposed by neglect.
Exactly. The speaker says they literally can't go very far, which means something as simple as physical conditioning or even just visiting a neighbor becomes this huge task. It basically requires either a car or some kind of specialized assistance.
And then you contrast that with urban life, the mobility gap is just huge.
Oh, I see.
The source points to Nebraska, specifically back in 2019, as a surprisingly positive example.
Right. They mentioned good public transit, decent sidewalks, reliable taxi services. And this was key back then, Uber being affordable enough to actually use regularly. They could move. They had options.
And compare that with their experience in Florida.
Yeah, Florida was described as a bit rough. And the difficulty there wasn't just physical access. It was was also bureaucratic access. The source points out that the disability services in Florida left, and I quote, a lot to be desired. So it seems like the very services meant to help sometimes just became another hurdle to clear.
That kind of systemic failure, it leads straight to the deeper personal cost, doesn't it? And that's what really hit me in the recording.
Mm-hmm.
Years spent in this inaccessible environment led to intense social isolation, real difficulty doing basic errands, and this feeling that their own independence was often actively discouraged by others, unless their effort happened to align conveniently with someone else's schedule or goals.
That's a profound point. That lack of infrastructure breeds dependency.
Yeah, it's deeply discouraging.
It is. Now, let's pivot a bit from that physical hill to, let's say, an informational hill. The speaker, it turns out, is deeply involved in a very niche community, music production.
Right, using high-level synthesis software like Vocaloid and Synthesizer V.
Exactly. Stuff most people assume is purely visual. You know, a complex mixing board you absolutely need to see to operate.
Okay, so when the speaker, who happens to be blind, produces this professional-grade music...
I appreciate the compliments towards my music quality. However, if we're going on factual information, I do have to step in and say that my music is by no means professional-grade. I wouldn't even say that it's close. I cannot in good conscience allow the AI to compliment me like that and be able to accept that in the recording without confronting that directly. Especially when you consider the fact that the AI has never even heard my music before and cannot rightly compliment it.
What happens?
They constantly hear the same shocked question, often from sighted or partially sighted producers. How are you doing this? I didn't even know this was possible.
Perhaps I should have clarified that I get those kind of questions from mostly blind producers, not from sighted producers, as the AI claims.
And that is the aha moment, right? It's the realization that if knowledge about accessing complex, high-level software knowledge that could literally change someone's career path is hidden away in these tiny, fragmented, niche forums.
Then how much more hidden is the basic knowledge about, say, accessible services in some random county?
Exactly. The physical limitations end up exposing the digital limitations. The problem isn't just a physical failure of infrastructure. It's also an intellectual failure of how we organize information.
Okay, so that realization brings us straight to a core systemic failure they're trying to solve here, this idea of an information fracture.
Precisely. The knowledge the blind community needs to live independently, like which software is accessible, which is only partially accessible, or maybe which ones are usable, but only if you know a specific set of shared workarounds.
Like the Vocaloid example.
All that crucial information is just scattered across thousands of different digital spaces. There's no central hub.
And this fracture, it doesn't just stop at software, does it? It extends right into advocacy and organization.
Oh, absolutely. When you look at major blindness organizations, think NFB, the National Federation of the Blind, or ACB, the American Council of the Blind, they each have their own distinct philosophies, their own methods, their own strategic goals.
Which in theory could be healthy competition, maybe, different approaches.
Perhaps. But the actual information defining these really crucial differences, it's notoriously hard for someone new or maybe a concerned family member trying to help to actually find.
So if I'm potentially looking to join, and I want to understand the core philosophy of NFB versus ACB, like, what do they really stand for and how do they operate? Where do I even begin?
Well, according to the source, you often just hit a wall. This foundational information gets delegated to, quote, obscure social media profiles, archived blog posts, or buried deep in meeting minutes.
So it basically requires tribal knowledge or years of just being in the community to figure out the landscape.
Pretty much. And that lack of transparency, it fundamentally limits a user's choice.
Right.
How can you choose if you don't know what the options truly represent?
So this centralized resource they're building, VIS Access, it aims to help users understand these philosophies before joining. But also, you mentioned it holds up a mirror.
That's a key part. It's intended to help the organizations themselves see how they're perceived and understand potential areas for improvement based on aggregated community-driven feedback. So it's meant to be a two-way street.
Turning organizational data from this sort of internal affair into a transparent community resource.
That's a synthesis layer, yeah. That's critical.
But this central vacuum, this fracture, it covers everything, doesn't it? Not just organizations or niche software. It's down to the neighborhood level, like sidewalk infrastructure, the general tech space, the actual effectiveness of local advocacy.
Everything. People are forced to rely on personal interactions, word of mouth, or, and this is the worst part, what the source calls fear-based exploration.
What does that mean in practice?
Well, imagine you're thinking of relocating your whole life to a new city, and the only reliable way to find out if you can actually safely navigate the, say, four blocks between your potential apartment and the the nearest bus stop is to physically fly there and risk it.
That's incredibly inefficient and stressful.
Right. The knowledge exists block by block in the lived experience of the people already there. It's just not aggregated. It's not indexed. It's not shareable in any systematic way.
Which is exactly why the project has to be community driven. You can't just hire consultants to walk every single street in every city.
You really can't. And that brings us neatly to the solution they're building. This project, VI Access, has apparently been in serious development since February. And the goal is effectively Wikipedia, but specifically engineered for accessibility information.
That sounds incredibly ambitious. I mean, after experiencing all that frustration, they didn't just write an angry blog post. They decided to build a tool designed to solve multiple, quite different problems all at once.
It is ambitious.
Tell us about those four target audiences, because they sound wildly different.
They really are. Okay, first, the most obvious one, blind users. They use it to look up a specific zip code, a county, maybe even a whole country, to quickly find out about accessibility resources, the physical infrastructure, and even the general community outlook.
Okay, that makes sense. Who's second?
Governments. Think city council members, county commissioners, planning departments. They can use VI Access to actually read and understand the documented aggregated problems their own constituents are facing.
So they get direct community data, not just like anecdotes delivered at some quarterly meeting.
Exactly. Real data. Third, software developers. They desperately need a central place to find accessibility guidelines and all those fragmented development resources we talked about. So VI Access aims to be a knowledge hub, detailing how to correctly implement accessibility features for everything from operating systems right down to that niche music software.
Okay, and the fourth group?
Finally, the organizations themselves, NFB, ACB, and others like them. They gain transparency. Users can clearly see their different philosophies and methods laid out side by side for community review.
Which ideally fosters internal accountability and also external understanding.
That's the goal. But wait, a community wiki trying to serve, say, city council members and blind users. That raises a really crucial challenge, doesn't it?
Yeah, how do you manage that tension between objective fact and deeply subjective lived experience? Both are critical, but they're different kinds of information.
Right. A government official might want hard data on curb cuts, but a user deciding whether to move somewhere needs to know if they'll be, you know, socially accepted or constantly hassled.
So how does the source material say VI Access plans to handle that? It seems like a tough balancing act.
It does, but they seem to have a clever structural solution planned. The idea is that the main wiki pages will contain only factual, objective information. Like, are there actually curb cuts at this specific intersection? What is the published public transportation route? Is sidewalk continuity maintained for at least, say, 4 blocks in this area? Factual stuff.
Okay, but where does the subjective experience go? Because that's vital too.
And this is where the community layer really comes in. At the bottom of every page, whether it's for a city, an organization, or a piece of software, there will be a star rating system and a detailed review section.
Ah, okay, so like product reviews, but for accessibility.
Pretty much. That review system is where all the opinionated, subjective, but absolutely crucial feedback lives. This is where you cover the societal issues that really determine quality of life.
Like, are people generally helpful or hostile? Is there a known issue in this area with people grabbing canes or touching guide dogs without consent?
Exactly those kinds of things. That distinction is really profound, I think. The objective data tells you if the infrastructure is technically compliant, maybe.
But the subjective reviews tell you if the location is actually livable and feels safe.
Right. You could have absolutely perfect sidewalks, technically speaking. But if the local community actively discourages independence or is unwelcoming, that objective data becomes almost useless for a major life decision, like moving.
Okay, that makes sense. But it's a wiki, so it needs references, right? Yeah. Especially for niche topics like, say, Vocaloid accessibility or the usability of some specific screen reader plugin. Those references probably don't exist in academic journals.
They definitely don't. So the plan is quite ingenious. They're going to create the references themselves. They're building their own video sharing content, specifically for platforms like YouTube, PeerTube, Odyssey, designed explicitly to serve as the necessary detailed video documentation and references for the wiki pages.
Wow. So they're simultaneously tackling the information deficit and solving the reference validation problem for these niche areas.
That seems to be the plan. Generate the proof alongside the claim. And let's just circle back one last time to that difficult walk mentioned in the recording, the one in North Carolina, because the exercise described wasn't just about physical conditioning for its own sake.
Okay.
It was actually preparation for what sounds like the ultimate long-term reference generator for this entire project. The speaker's current training is apparently all in preparation for a massive countrywide walk. This grand trek, as the outline calls it, seems to be the ultimate commitment to data collection. The goal is apparently to walk from the Northwest coast to the Southeast coast.
The full diagonal span of the United States.
That seems to be the idea. And to vlog the entire journey through every city, state, county. They also plan to do this with a sighted safety companion, which makes sense.
And the purpose of this enormous undertaking?
The purpose is to manually create solid references for VI Access. Real, documented, geotag neighborhood by neighborhood data.
On exactly where you can and cannot walk safely, capturing minute details.
Exactly. Things like the changes in sidewalk quality from one block to the next, the usability of crosswalks, even community responsiveness. It provides a baseline reference layer of ground truth that simply doesn't exist anywhere else right now.
That's not just a walk. That's an incredibly ambitious logistical undertaking. Did the source mention the challenges?
Oh, yeah. Immediate and significant obstacles were noted. First, just the sheer expense. Finding hotels and food for a cross-country trek like that is enormous. Second, their current physical conditioning. Those daily walks described in the recording. That's the attempt to get their body into the kind of shape needed for a journey that could take months, maybe even years.
Wow. That really highlights the core challenge, doesn't it? Translating that intense personal commitment into scalable, reliable data.
It really does. They're planning to use this incredibly physical, time-consuming, and expensive journey just to defeat the information fracture by generating the precise data points that, frankly, governmental systems have completely failed to provide.
It shows the lengths the community has to go to simply secure basic, necessary information about their environment.
Absolutely.
So if you're listening now and thinking, wow, this VI access project sounds crucial, where is it right now? Is it live?
According to the source material, it's currently private. They're undergoing what's described as a large migration. Sounds like getting the foundational tech really solid.
Migration refers to the server migration that we're attempting because the current server infrastructure that we're having to use is not ideal.
They're actively gauging interest right now and are aiming for a limited but dedicated initial staff to really begin the build out. The target mentioned was about 10 writers, one programmer, one system administrator, and one moderator.
So a focused start, a measured approach to what is undeniably a colossal goal, prioritizing a strong foundation over just rushing something out.
Seems that way.
So this deep dive has really taken us on quite a journey, from the profound isolation felt on a rural North Carolina driveway, all the way to the development of this large-scale, community-driven technical solution. VI Access isn't just about fixing a tech problem, is it?
Not at all. It's fundamentally about addressing a systemic failure. A failure where knowledge that directly impacts independence, safety, and quality of life is just locked away in these disconnected silos and obscure corners of the internet.
And the project leverages that core mechanism of community contribution, much like Wikipedia, but aims it specifically at aggregating data across those three key pillars of independent living: physical infrastructure, technological accessibility, and organizational advocacy.
Exactly. It connects the dots in a way that hasn't been done before.
Which leaves us with, I think, a really final provocative thought for you to consider.
Okay.
If state and local governments often can't, or perhaps won't, provide the kind of hyper-local data that's truly necessary for independent living, and if even large advocacy organizations sometimes fracture their own internal knowledge, then what if the most effective way forward, the most powerful way to address these systemic accessibility failures, is simply by giving the people most affected the tools and the platform to organize, reference, and document their own collective shared knowledge?
That's a powerful question. The potential of a centralized wiki built by and for the community it serves, it could be an immense tool for empowerment. We really encourage you, the listener, to consider the potentially revolutionary power of that kind of community-generated data. Until next time, stay well informed.